What if the job you're waiting for is actually the one you already have? Most of us spend our careers searching for the perfect boss, the ideal company culture, the role that finally clicks. Meanwhile, we're stuck in a holding pattern, mentally checked out, waiting for someone else to fix our work experience. But here's the uncomfortable truth. Your fulfillment at work isn't your employer's responsibility. It's yours. This shift in perspective, from victim to architect of your own experience, is what self-leadership is really about. It's not about finding perfection. It's about creating meaning, joy, and growth right where you are, even when conditions are far from ideal. When only 37% of employees report finding joy at work, despite 90% expecting it, the problem isn't just bad workplaces. It's our belief that happiness should be delivered to us rather than created by us. We've been sold a lie about passion. Research reveals something more practical. Purpose trumps passion every time. Employees with purpose but no passion perform in the 64th percentile, while those with passion but no purpose languish in the 20th. You don't need butterflies every Monday morning to do meaningful work. Purpose isn't reserved for nonprofit workers. Your job exists because it serves someone, customers, colleagues, communities. Yet while 98% of CEOs believe their company's purpose is clear, only half of their vice presidents agree. Finding your purpose requires detective work. Try the impact map exercise. Take any task and keep asking, and then what happens? A financial analyst doesn't just crunch numbers. Those numbers inform decisions that determine whether families keep their jobs. When lifeguards read stories about lives they'd saved, their dedication increased by 40%. Your purpose doesn't need to fit on a motivational poster. It can be messy, evolving, a collection of moments that fill you with quiet pride. Sometimes, purpose is simply knowing your absence would create a hole someone would struggle to fill. Your brain constantly seeks evidence confirming existing beliefs about work, your boss, your career. This isn't a character flaw, it's neuroscience. The Bader-Meinhof phenomenon explains why you suddenly see Honda Accords everywhere once you consider buying one. Your brain creates a closed loop. Heightened awareness leads to selective attention, which reinforces beliefs. Like a wheelbarrow repeatedly falling into the same muddy rut, each mental pass deepens the groove. Many work-related ruts formed passively in childhood, parents complaining about jobs, coming home exhausted, teaching us through osmosis that work inherently sucks. Dismantling these beliefs requires mental architecture, adding support beams in the form of counterthoughts. When you think, "My boss doesn't care about me," replace it with, "My boss is busy and has their own pressures." These replacements must be believable, even if not fully convincing initially. This is the Stockdale paradox. Admiral James Stockdale survived 7 years as a Vietnamese POW by maintaining unwavering faith he'd prevail while confronting brutal facts. You need both unflinching realism about today and unshakable faith about tomorrow. Before high-stakes moments, your mind floods with catastrophic scenarios. Our brains evolved to spotlight threats over opportunities, a survival mechanism that now keeps us playing small. Organizations claim to value innovation, yet rarely celebrate those who deviate from norms. This creates a maddening double bind. Be bold, but don't stand out too much. The upside is rarely as obvious as the risk. When presenting to leadership, potential rewards typically outweigh dangers, but our threat-detecting brains fixate on worst-case scenarios, being fired, ostracized, with zero evidence. Sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Before pursuing growth, ask, do I have the skills, resources, support? Is the upside greater than the risk? Can I handle failure? You don't need 5 yeses, 3 out of 5 suffices. When interviewing for a new role, you're forced to envision your future self. Once you glimpse that potential, you can't unsee it. This explains why internal candidates often leave after rejection. They've seen what's possible. Leading yourself means recognizing your potential without waiting for validation. We embrace change when we control it. Getting married, leaving toxic jobs, relocating. Corporate change exhausts us because it's imposed, especially with endless uncertainty about return to office plans and meaningless pivots. Strategic reframing helps. View change as opportunity, not threat. When meetings get moved, instead of thinking nothing ever goes according to plan, reframe it. This is my chance to use that extra hour productively. This shift from frustration to empowerment builds genuine resilience. Despite inspiring persistence stories, J.K. Rowling rejected by 12 publishers, successful leaders also know when to quit. Rowling abandoned 2 novels before creating Harry Potter. The never give up advice needs an asterisk. Efficient leaders abandon fruitless endeavors constantly. Top performers distinguish themselves by accepting uncertainty rather than waiting for it to disappear. During massive upheaval at a sales company, most struggled while a small group excelled. Their secret? Accepting change's permanence and focusing on controllables today. I don't know what my job will look like in 3 months, but I know what it looks like today. This radical acceptance frees mental energy for action rather than worry. Olympic medalists often keep their medals in drawers. When researchers asked high achievers about their accomplishments, they consistently said it was never about the medal. The feeling of accomplishment is fleeting. The true magic is in the pursuit itself. Breaking promises to yourself erodes self-trust, making you reluctant to lead or take risks. Highly ambitious people fall into 3 traps: becoming plate spinners, who take on too many commitments, making hockey stick projections with unrealistically ambitious goals, or creating on their behalf promises that commit others without their input. Performance reviews default to addressing weaknesses rather than leveraging strengths. Research shows people feel more confident building on strengths. Spending energy trying to spot typos when you naturally lack that eye wastes potential for innovation. Even with mandated goals, you can add your own input-based goals that demonstrate leadership and give you more control. Effective self-leadership requires goals that are realistic, focus on inputs within your control, leverage strengths, and arise from strategic thinking. The University of Arizona's 85% rule suggests the sweet spot is 85% success and 15% failure. When you fall short, own your part, even when not 100% responsible, which builds trust and shows self-awareness. Yet, don't over-apologize. The balance between accountability and confidence defines mature leadership. High achievers often care intensely about everything, but phoning it in, deliberately choosing when to give minimum effort, isn't about caring less overall. It's about caring more selectively. Trying to be perfect in everything leads to burnout, causing you to phone it in where it matters most: your health and family. 3 traps hold high achievers back: maintaining an unsustainable pace, becoming irreplaceable in your current role, and fearing any mistake when calculated imperfection is sometimes necessary. Use a simple matrix. Give your all to high-value, high-joy activities. Push through valuable but not joyful tasks. Use joyful but low-value activities to sustain motivation, and phone it in for tasks with neither value nor joy. Sometimes, phone in your entire job temporarily, during major life transitions, illness, or when you're in the wrong role. Doing the minimum can be appropriate. Remember, your performance review is not your life review. Leading yourself means reclaiming power when external forces make you feel powerless. You deserve to feel purposeful and joyful in your work today, not someday.